My name is Megan Marie Hakkinen, and I'm an ultra endurance cyclist and writer living in the Okanagan Valley of British Columbia. I'm the author of South Away, The Pacific Coast on Two Wheels, New West Press 2019, shortlisted for the 2020 Kobo Emerging Writer Prize in Nonfiction and the 2020 Trade Nonfiction Book of the Year by the Book Publishers Association of Alberta. I'm a Trans Am Bike Race North Cape 4000 and Paris Press Paris Brevet finisher, as well as the 2019 24-hour world time trial champion and current course record holder in the women's division. Today I'm going to read an excerpt from chapter 10 of my book, followed up with a conversation with one of the story's central characters, my mother. A quick synopsis of South Away if you haven't read it. South Away chronicles the adventure of a lifetime, bicycling with my sister, Alicia, from Terrace, British Columbia down the west coast to almost the tip of the Baja Peninsula. Along the way, we battle with the elements in Vancouver Island's dense northern forests and frigid Mexican deserts, encounter strange men, suicidal highways, and monster trucks, and make some emergency repairs as tires and spokes succumb to the ravages of the journey. Luckily, we meet some good people along the way and glean some insight about the kindness of strangers. If you want to learn more about South Away, you can check out my website, meganhakkinen.com, linked in the show notes, or visit my publisher online at newwestpress.com. Let's dive in. Chapter 10, Redwood Green, Crescent City to Mendocino, California. The bark of harbor sea lions fades from earshot as we ride past Crescent City limits. Mottled sunlight sparkles through crowns of deep green as I shift blue steel into a low gear and dig in for the climb. Zach pinballs between me and Alicia, all enthusiasm and boyish glee. We had crossed the California-Oregon border earlier in the day, wheeling through farmland toward Crescent City, where we pulled in for a round of diner coffee before tackling the trio of hills that will lead us into the California Redwoods. Known as the North Coast, or Redwood Empire, this 375-mile stretch of barely populated coastline sits between San Francisco and us. When the hill shows no sign of a summit, Zach settles, the distance between us stretching out like a fading cord. Why are we doing this again? Already I wish we were back in the diner, surrounded by the buzz of activity and clattering dishware. Maple leaves as big as lampshades tumble from above, crumpling under our tires with a satisfying crackle. The groan of hill-weary motor homes resonates in my chest, and I'm relieved that we are not the only ones struggling. Oregon was the state of capes. California, we're told, the golden state, the land of milk, or marijuana, as we'll soon discover, and honey. With 840 miles of coastline, it's the third largest state in America, home to 1 in 8 U.S. citizens, as well as Redwood Groves and Steinbeck's Cannery Row, plus miles of SoCal surfer's paradise. But it's San Francisco that we spend our nights dreaming of, the three of us swept up in its aura, its promise of new experience. Unlike the mill towns and seaside communities of the Pacific Northwest, San Fran is no decimal point on the map, but a full-fledged city, a lifestyle, a place we know from books and rumors and episodes of Full House, where fearless bike couriers shred one-way streets and aging hippies hawk tie-dye on Haight-Ashbury. Zach has an uncle in San Pablo he says we can stay with, just outside of San Francisco, and so we ride with anticipation, every mile marker a step closer to the city by the bay. By lunchtime, we begin to experience the payoff from strenuous uphills when we arrive in Redwood State Park, home to some of the tallest and oldest trees on the planet. This is the domain of giants. Redwoods taller than Vancouver Business District office towers, a canopy of bird call boardroom meetings and squirrel executives. Trunks reminiscent of fortress walls edge both sides of the highway, and the scent of decomposing foliage, acrid and tangy, lifts from the understory. We are Lego figures on wheels in this landscape of thousand-year-old evergreens, this forest moon of Endor. Return of the Jedi was filmed here. My diminishing energy doubles when I realize that we're pedaling into the same woods where Han, Luke, and Leia were received in the Ewok's treetop village. The Redwood landscape takes on a sci-fi feel. Our quest to reach San Francisco suddenly is crucial to humanity as the Rebel Alliance's mission to destroy the Death Star's shield generator. While it was my father who introduced me to sci-fi, my mother was the one who insisted that we go, just she and I, to see A New Hope when it was re-released for the franchise's 20th anniversary. This was 1997, 2 years before Jar Jar Binks would become a loathed household name. I'd never seen any of the Star Wars trilogy. I didn't know my mother was even a fan. And I'm not sure why it was just the two of us. Perhaps Alicia wasn't interested. Perhaps Dad had hockey practice. It wasn't spur of the moment either. She set the date, a Friday night. We arrived early to beat the crowds, and the two of us shared a bag of popcorn doused in butter and a Rolo, her favorite candy bar. I adored every minute of it, from the streaming lines of opening text to Princess Leia's cinnamon bun hair rolls, to the Rebels' final X-Wing attack on the Death Star. I was captivated. I knew you'd love it, my mother had said as we shouldered our way through the crowd, out of the cinema and into the parking lot. I totally called it. How did you know? I had said, still in a buttery haze. The afterglow of Luke's lightsaber was slicing through my thoughts like the car lights stabbing darkness around us. I remember how I felt when I first saw it, she had said. I knew you'd feel the same. It had scared me that she could look inside me so easily, know exactly what I desired, what I craved. Some Jedi mind trick. And still, like the time she painted the house raspberry reds and sunflower yellow, while Alicia and I were away camping with our father, I wondered what I actually knew about her. What were her interests? My father, he was easy to pin down, an open book. He played hockey like an addict, took us to the ski hill nearly every weekend in the winter, and always had some backyard project on the go. My mother, on the other hand, seemed to lack any passion aside from gardening until she quit smoking and became a Canucks fan. She used her cigarette money to buy Pavel Bure jerseys and home game tickets and made a cake in anticipation of their 1994 Stanley Cup win against the New York Rangers. We let the cake sit in the fridge for 5 days after they lost. The sad truth is, I'd often assumed my mother was just boring, a woman without interests, a mother. But after that night she took me to see A New Hope, my 12-year-old self was forced to reconsider. I wondered, as we drove home from the theater, if it was possible that my mother used to be cool. Perhaps I'd misjudged her, and the reason she didn't seem to do anything had more to do with a 40-hour work week and chaperoning her two kids around than anything else. Thinking about my mother now, it strikes me that she's always been an avid reader, devouring paperback classics and never discouraged like I've been by the tiny, near illegible font, or the book's refusal to stay open when you set it down on the table. She still loves those stories, like she loves Star Wars. And perhaps in the imagination of Charles Dickens and Jane Austen, she found a freedom, a quiet escape from 5 a.m. start times and the tedium of motherhood. I'm excited to have my mother, Carol Ray, here for a conversation about her reaction to the text and what it's like to be portrayed in a story. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Megan. Thanks for inviting me.
Let's start by having you share a little bit about yourself. What are your passions, hobbies? What do you do for work?
Well, I've been retired now for about 8 years. My main career was in baking. I was a cake decorator. And after I retired from baking, I worked full-time as a yoga teacher for about 5 years, and then fully retired almost 4 years ago now. So mainly I was a baker, and then I taught yoga.
Mm-hmm. And South Away, The Pacific Coast on Two Wheels, is a memoir from my perspective as a young woman in the world, a budding touring cyclist and a daughter and sister. So I'm curious to know more about your perspectives and point of view. What is it like to have two daughters in the world? And do you have anything to share about your approach to parenting? I know it's a big topic, but...
It's a huge topic. I'm very happy to have two daughters. I remember when Alicia was born, the nurse thought I would be disappointed because I already had one daughter, and I was so happy I cried because I was happy to have two daughters. And one of my main goals in bringing up daughters in this world was to bring up independent women that would always be able to look after themselves, that would be capable, and be able to go out in the world and feel confident in themselves. I feel perhaps maybe it was a big thing for me to want to bring my daughters up that way, because I didn't feel confident in myself when I, you know, was going through university and stepping into a career, and I chose the easiest path rather than the most challenging path, and regretted that for many, many years. Now that I'm retired and at the other end of it, I no longer regret it, but at the time I definitely did. So I wanted my daughters to make choices that would make them happy, and I wanted them to be independent, to be able to look after themselves.
Man, looking back, I really appreciate the effort you put into that. I remember you saying things to me when I was a kid, you know, about career choice and stuff, and you know, you made sure that we knew there wasn't like specific women's jobs and men's jobs. You know, I could be a firefighter if I wanted to be. I just had to train for it, and thank you for, you know, giving me permission to be whatever I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I probably thought that you were going to do something more traditional with your life. but really now I've realized now that I'm through my working years and through my career, the most important thing is to choose something that makes you happy and that brings you a certain degree of satisfaction. So whatever that is, I'm glad that you're doing it. And if that involves doing crazy bicycle races, then that's so be it. Yeah.
So I'm extremely grateful to have received your permission and the permission of other people in my family to write about you in South Away. It's kind of challenging to write about family members or relationship partners or close friends, because you don't want to write about them in a negative light, and you're worried about how your writing will be perceived, and I want to write truthfully, but I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm wondering what your reaction was to the text when you first read it, and when you first read about yourself.
I have to say that I was hurt. I remember getting to, it was quite early on, and you said something about, I don't want to turn out like my mother. And I actually put it down and didn't go back to it for a few days, and didn't say anything to anybody about that either. I kept it hidden. Like I was very, very hurt. And then I went back and started reading, and I actually realized that I was that mom. I was that mom that worried a lot and that really didn't want you riding the Highway of Tears. Like, I would have done anything to stop you from riding the Highway of Tears by yourself. I was that mom that was worried about you out on the highway camping by yourself, with not very much money and not having the experience yet of, you know, doing bicycle touring. Now that you've got all this experience under your belt, I still worry. I'm a mother. I don't think that's anything that I have to apologize for. But I have a lot more confidence and a lot more faith in your abilities now. So, I'm a lot more comfortable with you hitting the road. I still wouldn't want you riding the Highway of Tears by yourself, even though it's 10 or 11 years later and you're way more mature and you're a more experienced cyclist. I still wouldn't want you doing that first leg of your journey by yourself.
Pretty stubborn though. Did you ever imagine your 35-year-old daughter would be living with you through a global pandemic? How much fun has this been?
Not in a million years I didn't imagine it. I think I'm actually very lucky and quite blessed to have you here. Because otherwise the house would be a pretty boring with just myself and your dad, and you're always welcome in my house, you can always stay here. But I never in a million years dreamed that this would happen. No.
I think we've managed it really well. Like, I feel in March and April there were some stressful moments when we were all like, you know, just overwhelmed by the news, and there was so much fear and confusion, and you know, worried it would be like a zombie apocalypse. And then once we kind of eased into the new normal, it's been pretty smooth sailing, actually.
That's very true.
So I can't not mention that this is a special week. It's your birthday week. Mm-hmm. You're turning 65 on December 6th, and I want to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
And thank you for being a loving, nurturing, worrywart mother who supported me from the sidelines of my high school basketball games. And, you know, until my, you know, even more recent adventures and endeavors, like coming down to Borrego Springs to run support for me at the Time Trial Championships. So thanks for being there all the way, and suffering my personal questions in this interview. Is there anything you want to add about, you know, your experience as a mother, or what it was like to be portrayed in a book, or anything like that?
No, I think for me, the one lesson that I've learned is sort of like to be careful of what you wish for sometimes, because I wanted and worked really hard to raise daughters who I thought were free thinking and independent. And when you went out and expressed that by doing this first journey, I was freaked out and worried sick. You know, sometimes what we want for our children maybe isn't the safest route, but in the end, you know, we want them to be happy. So,
Well, thanks for joining us, Mom, and thanks for listening, everyone.
Mm-hmm.